For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Yes, hello, welcome to the Monday Waffle episode 22. My name is Jake Batrick. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. It's round 22 of the Waffle, which means the second last round. It was a fantastic round of footy, which proved very pivotal for many clubs in the competition. The Swan Districts jumped back into the top five after getting the job done over the Tigers. West Perth have sewn up second spot and that double chance on the ladder. They need a pretty brutal thumping from Claremont next week if they're going to lose that. And I can't really see that happening. And the Lions just keep rolling along as they tossed aside the Sharks on the weekend. So, yeah, it was a fantastic round of footy. We'll quickly run through the results. Swan Districts defeated the Tigers by 11 points at Steel Blue Oval. West Perth got up over South Fremantle by 23 points. Peel defeated Perth by 13 points. And Subiaco got over the line against the Sharks by 77 points. Poor old Sharks. But we're going to get stuck into the action. It was the Falcons, as I said before, getting the job done over the Bulldogs. The Falcons won 12-13, 85 to 9-8, 62, a 23-point victory. It was very much goal for goal for the whole game, right up until three-quarter time, and the Bulldogs actually led early on in the fourth quarter, but then four unanswered goals from the Falcons. Like they've done many times this year, they've come from behind to get the result, and they did it again on Saturday, and the Bulldogs, well, that seals their fate of missing out on finals, which is disappointing. They've had a really good start to the year, but they faded late on, which was, they would have liked to have their time again, that's for sure. It was a cracking game. A couple of blokes had days out. The Hams brothers from the Bulldogs, Ashton Hams, had 39 disposals and a goal, 157 Dream Team points, if you don't mind. His brother Kyle had 32 disposals, 20 handballs though, so I'm not sure how effective they were. Aaron Black again has had a stellar season. He had 33 disposals, 9 kicks, 24 handballs, 6 marks, 5 tackles and 2 hit-outs for the little man, so good job there. And big Matty Fowler had 6 goals, 3 for the game from 17 disposals, so a ripping game from him. And Ryan Cook as well for the Bulldogs had a really solid game, 2 goals, 25 disposals, 10 marks. So another shining light for the Bulldogs, which they've had many shining lights this year, the Doggies, but look, as I said, they'll be very disappointed. They will miss out on finals, given that they've got quite a strong squad down there at Frio, so disappointing for them. But West Perth have, as I said before, they've sewn up second spot on the ladder, which is really good for them. They get the double chance, and in the first week of finals, if the ladder stays the same, they'll be playing Peel, which they've got the wood over this season, so you'd hope for Falcons fans they will get Peel in the first week. But the Falcons will tell you they're just taking it one week at a time. And to run us through what happened on the weekend, I've got defender Drew Road from the Falcons. Drew, thanks for joining us, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, Bats. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very, very well. Congrats on the win on the weekend. Second spot now secured for the Falcons. Your coach, Bill Monahan's quoted in the paper today, mate. He reckons you guys can still improve. What was his message after the game?
That's spot on from Bill. I think everyone at this time of year is probably looking to play their best footy and improve, keep on improving all the way up until the end of September. So the main message was just our ball movement, I guess, going forward, particularly like that last kick inside forward 50, and probably just our defensive intensity, like our tackling and stuff, has been a little bit down over the last couple of weeks. So just probably asking for improvement in that.
Now, you started up forward at the start of the season and then got moved down back sort of for the second half of the year. What was the inspiration behind that move?
To be honest, it's probably just a bit about plugging a few holes. I think you had key injury to Marcus Adams, which is a key offender, and we're sort of lacking a bit of height down there. So that was probably the main reason, just filling a hole more than anything.
And you've got the Tigers this weekend, mate. Bit of a danger game. The Tigers have got a lot to play for. That top five, that fifth position in the top five is still up for grabs for them. Will you guys change much this week, or is it business as usual?
Probably business as usual. I think it's really important to try and take some momentum into the latter half of the season. And obviously Claremont are a quality side, and they've got a lot to play for, so I don't think we're changing too much. I think maybe a couple couple of players pushing for spots, but that's about it.
Now, finally, Drew, the Sandovers right around the corner. Aaron Black obviously won it last year. Now, a teammate of his, Shane Nelson, has had a pretty good year. Do you reckon the Sandover could be staying at the Falcons this year?
I guess that, from a personal perspective, I guess I hope that, you know, Nelly does do well. I think he got off a report last week, so he's still in the running. And he has had a pretty good year, pretty consistent, and always finds lots of the ball. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be up there in the running, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Very exciting times for the Falcons. Good luck in the final round this weekend, Drew, and thanks for joining us on the Monday Waffle.
Cheers, Bats. Cheers for having us, mate.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Swan Districts held on against the Tigers on Saturday afternoon, winning 9-14-68 to 7-15-57. The Swans are in the top five, and to talk us all through it is Channel 7's Mark Reddings. Mark, how are you going?
Good morning, Jake. Good to catch up.
Absolutely. Now, look, is this the final twist in this battle for the fifth spot, or do you reckon there's one last turn next week when the Tigers travel up to Joondalup to face the Falcons?
Well, the fascinating factor here is that Swan Districts obviously have the bye next week. They're currently a game clear. Claremont have a superior percentage, so that is an element which has to be taken into account. Big task for the Tigers going up to play West Perth. Mind you, West Perth have got a top two spot locked away. They can't be, I wouldn't have thought, displaced from that position. So given that, not much to play for the Falcons. Claremont with so much to hang before them as incentives. So look, wouldn't put it beyond the realms that Claremont sneak into that top five. If they do, a bit like Swans, on their day they can be very tough to beat.
Now, if the ladder stays the same, the Swans will play East Perth in the first week of the finals. Now, their gun midfielders Riggio and Alari were very quiet on the weekend. Apart from those guys lifting, what else do the Swans need to do to improve if they're going to be any chance in this year's final series?
Well, yeah, you do need a midfield that's up and running. And Swans, every time we've seen them this year, they've been really competitive, haven't been able to get across the line on a few occasions, but they've always been thereabouts. So, well, there's nothing that Greg Harding can do more to try and instill a bit more confidence and belief in this team. They're young, they're not the most talented in the competition, but if they do get to an elimination final, obviously East Perth appear at this stage the most logical opponent. Quite frankly, with the top five, it's interesting that I think there's probably only three clubs that could win a grand final in the top five, and that's the top three places, because Subi would get the rest, West Perth and Peel in a qualifying final. Teams that have to win from the elimination final in a top five, very tough. So I think Swan Districts, irrespective of what they do in the first week of the final, it's very tough to advance too far given the structure of the top five. But the same can be said for East Perth. They desperately need to try and jump ahead of Peel this week. If they can do that, the double chance is there. But Peel, of course, have got South Fremantle at home. And you'd think that given the latter positions with South Fremantle currently seventh and Peel third, that the Thunder would be favourites to get across the line there.
Now, the Tigers used 402 disposals for a return of just 7 goals on the weekend, 4 behinds in the last quarter. Now, you've got to say their forward line is probably one of the most potent in the competition. Why do you think, though, it's not really worked for them this year?
Yeah, I've seen them a couple of times, and they've been really productive in the first quarters of games. I remember against South, they kicked, I think, 7 goals in the first term, but only 2 for the rest of the game. So interesting how they can have these fade-outs offensively. And certainly on the weekend, they had 5 goals up to half-time. Not a bad return, nothing terrific, but then 7 for the total. Only 2 goals after half-time and 4 behinds in the last quarter. So, yeah, there are some concerns there for them productivity-wise. They do have the likes of Dak Bradshaw second on the leading goal-kicker tally with 36. So do you think they've got enough firepower with Bo Meister obviously in the mix there as well? I just can't see why they can't kick a score, but 7-15, inaccuracy obviously haunted them last week, and if Claremont are to sneak into that top five, they need to address that problem in a hurry, because West Perth, as we've seen this year, just an outstanding side that if they're given any latitude and some time and space, Bill Monaghan's charge is very tough to beat.
Finally, Mark, it's the battle of the co-tenants in waffle action on 7 this weekend.
Absolutely, East Perth and Subiaco. As I said, Subiaco nothing to play for this week because they have top spots sewn up. East Perth, it's all ahead of them. If they can knock over the Lions, psychological advantage perhaps going into the finals, but also leaves the door open for them to grab third position. So a fair bit of interest as to what happens on Saturday afternoon out there at Medibank Stadium.
Looking forward to it, Mark. It's the final round of the regular season. A few more twists and turns and should be a ripper. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, Jake.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Subiaco got the job done over a hapless East Frio on Saturday afternoon, winning 16-17, 113 to the Fremantle Sharks, 5-6-36, a 77-point demolition of the Sharks, who have now lost 12 games in a row and will really can't wait for the season to be over for the Sharks. They'll certainly be looking towards next year. The day started in very similar fashion to the Sharks' season, with Jaden Schofield getting reported in the first 20 seconds of the game for making rough conduct on Lee Kitchen from the Lions. So, I mean, it was a pretty... When that happens in the first 20 seconds, you think your day's going to not get much better from there. The scoreboard was pretty respectable at quarter time. It was 3-6 to 1-2, but then it blew out from there. The Lions kicked 5-1 in the second, and then 4-0 in the third, and then 4-3 in the final term, with the eventual margin being 77 points, as I said before. Well, the Lions are really, they're really rolling now. They're 3 games clear on top of the ladder. They play their co-tenants at Medibank Stadium, East Perth, next week, as Mark Redding said, which really proves to be a crucial clash, because if the Lions drop that one, they'll certainly be vulnerable heading into their first game of the final, so they'll really be looking to get a good result there. But having said that, East Perth really need the win if they want to play West Perth, which East Perth have had the wood over this year, and for the Royals to jump up into third, well, then the Royals really need to win next weekend. So it's going to be a cracking game. But getting back to this weekend's game, there are a few standouts. Matty Boland kicked 4 and had a day out, which takes his season tally to 21, which is a great effort, given that Shane Yeron's leading the way on 44. Kyle Halligan had 3. DeLuca, Wood and Menengola had 2. And Chris Phelan, Cole Horsley, Clancy Wheeler all had singles. Chris Phelan and Kyle Horsley had 33 disposals and 27 disposals, respectively, to go with their goals. And Simon Moore had another good game. He had 22 touches, 12 kicks, 10 handballs. So it's good to see the youngster back in the league side and doing really well. For the Sharks, it doesn't get much better on the eye. Jamie McNamara had 22 disposals. Ryan Lester-Smith also had 22. And Jacob Green was the only other notable on the day. He had 21 disposals and a goal. So, yeah, disappointing for the Sharks. I was speaking to their defender, Matthew Jupp, during the week, and, well, the vibe coming from him is that they cannot wait to get stuck into pre-season and looking forward to next year. So, before they can sign off on this year, the Sharks will be hosting the Demons next week at Adams Stadium. And, well, one last chance to get a win and hopefully not make it 13 losses in a row.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Peel kept their faint top two chances alive with a solid win over the Perth Demons at Lath Lane Park. The Thunder won 14-16, 100 to 13-9, 87, securing a 13-point victory over the Demons, who have been struggling all year but showed a lot in this game. It was very pleasing to see. It was a pretty scary moment early on in the game. Fringe Fremantle Docker Ruckman Zach Clark took a knock to the head and wasn't in very good shape at all. It was described by his teammate Jacob Ballard as Clark was on another planet, which is never great to hear. Ballard also went on to say it was one of the scariest things he's seen on the footy field when Zach Clark emerged from the rooms midway through the third term with the tracksuit on, it was met by a great applause from the ground, and it was really, really good to see Clark up and about. So it was a close shave for Clark, and a very, very lucky boy. But as I said before, Perth did show a lot in this game. They led by 3 goals at quarter time before Pia went on to kick 5-1 in the second term. And then they were up again at 3-quarter time but couldn't hold on, with the Thunder kicking 4-2 in the final term to pinch a 13-point win in a thriller. Now, for Peel to finish top two, they need the West Perth Falcons to get belted by Claremont next weekend. But Peel also have to get the job done over the Bulldogs, which is no easy feat. The Bulldogs did show a lot this weekend against West Perth, and it is at the Bulldogs' home ground, so a pretty crucial match for Peel. But they will play finals for the first time in their history, which we've been harping on about with the hashtag Pray for Peel throughout this year. So very exciting times. And Perth, well, as we said before, they will be playing East Frio in a bottom of the table clash, which is a pretty sour end for both sides. There were some standouts in this game, however, for both sides. Gerald Ugel has been on fire lately for Peel. He kicked 3 goals. Ballard and Hanneth kicked 2. And Duffy, Duffield, Hughes, Jeddah, Moller, Tabiner and Jones all kicked singles for Peel. For Perth, Stevenson had 4. Callum Wally booted 3 goals. Pollock kicked 2. And Wolfenden, Edmonds, McKenna and Jones singles for the Demons. To the disposals, Ballard, who kicked 2 goals, had 36 disposals to go along with that. 16 kicks, 20 handballs and 8 marks. Aiden Tropiano, who has been playing very, very well. We have said all year that if there was 3 or 4 Aiden Tropianos running around for Perth, that they probably would be playing finals. But I don't think cloning technology is at that stage yet. So anyway, he had 35 disposals, 15 kicks and 20 marks, 6 tackles. He's a tackling machine. Louis McKenna had 29 disposals to go along with his goal. And Brendan Jones was another standout. He had 32 touches and a goal for his day. Seven marks and 4 tackles as well. So a very, very solid day out for Brendan. Well, it was the class that shone throughout the game for Peel, and they had just a little bit more than Perth this week, and which enabled them to get the 13-point win. That's it for this episode of the Monday Waffle. Thanks for tuning in, and catch us next week for more news and reviews from the state's biggest footy league.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.